Well, why don't we give a warm welcome to Ken as he brings and ministers the Word of God to us.
Right, Daniel's just turning up a scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's good when we get a little bit of confirmation as well. Because when Daniel read that Psalm 100, verse 3 includes the statement, it is He who has made us and not us ourselves. That word follow is quite a popular word these days. We follow football teams, we follow pop stars, we follow lots of famous people, personalities. It's a culture of today to follow somebody or something. You know, Jesus made this statement at the start of his ministry when he was gathering a team around him. Now, it's interesting that the team he selected wouldn't have won any football matches. Probably at the time they were selected, they couldn't even come together as a unified team. Four of them were fishermen, at least four of them were fishermen. Two sets of brothers, fishing. And with the dad as well, he was among. Another one was Matthew, was a tax collector or a tax gatherer. Now in those days they didn't have inland revenue like they have now. He would have probably bought the right from the Romans to collect taxes in a certain area. He'd sort of collect taxes from them. Now, he could collect more than he was entitled to, but that's how it was. So he wasn't a very popular person. So we've got four fishermen, a tax collector. Now, we had a chap called Simon. Now, the zealots were like militant radicals. They fought against the establishment and everything else. We had a man called Thomas who unfortunately got dubbed with the title Doubting Thomas, but if you read him, he was a faithful man. He got the label, unfortunately, more important on his name than who he actually was. So it would appear to be quite a motley crew. Yeah. Motley? You wouldn't know what motley means. An unusual group to put together. But you know, Jesus doesn't make mistakes, even to the choosing of Judas. And the statement that he made to the fishermen was, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So why did he pick the ones that he picked? Did they have a qualification that Jesus was looking for? What did he see in them? He could have gone and picked anybody. So Jesus must have had some criteria to choose who he chose. So let's just look at some essentials of what was needed. First of all, they needed to say yes to Jesus. They needed to believe who he is. They needed to be willing to change their situation. One of the things that you see states is they left their nets. That was their job. That's probably all they knew. And they left all that security. They needed to go with Jesus, because he said, follow me. See, Jesus wasn't looking at what they were at that point in time. Jesus was looking at their potential. If we'd have looked at them, we would have seen things at face value. But Jesus doesn't look like that. He sees the reality. Jesus is inviting us in the same way he invited the disciples. If that is the case, then the same criteria of essentials that we've just identified there applies to us.
So when Jesus says to us, follow me, the first thing we need to do is say yes to Jesus. We need to believe he is who he says he is. And we need to be willing to cut our ties to the past. And there's lots of things can tie us to the past. We can continually drag the past into the present. You see, Jesus knows that we have to be prepared to walk away from the past. When he says, follow me, it might not be where you want to go. So we have the situation that when Jesus comes to us and he says to us, follow me, we don't always respond the same. We may not say yes. That doesn't mean to say we've said no, but we haven't said yes. We might feel unqualified. The team of people that Jesus selected may have felt unqualified. They might have felt unworthy. Matthew wouldn't have been much liked as a tax man. He was probably thinking, what does Jesus see in me? But remember, Jesus is seeing things different. They may not believe. In Hebrews chapter 11 it says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. It says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Whatever we put our trust in is an act of faith. But we can put our trust in some weird things. Sometimes it brings a real disaster. Sometimes it just takes us down a wandering path to nowhere. But when we make a decision to follow Jesus, he sets the direction. He asks us to follow. And when God calls us, we are not the finished article. We seem to think we have to have it all to start the journey. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus just says, come. It's not our own measurement of ourselves. It's our decision to go with Jesus. And the journey starts. For a while I've been looking at a few of the people in the Old Testament and the way they started their journeys. I just looked at David and Moses and Gideon, three out of the Old Testament. We look at, you know, David, anointed king of a nation. Moses, leading a nation out of captivity. Gideon, fighting and winning a battle with God's numerics. So let's go back to David. You know what it said about David? Samuel's going to find a future king. And he goes looking and he goes to a family. And he doesn't find what he's looking for in the family. And he asks a question. Is there anybody else in your family? And in 1 Samuel it says, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. He doesn't even get a look in the natural. He's not even counted as being part of the main family. He's out as a shepherd. So Samuel calls for the lad to come. And he waits until he comes to the home. And he says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the lad that's out as a shepherd boy with the sheep, the least of the family. Then we've got Moses. Moses leads the children of Egypt out of captivity. And it's a long account of how he does it. But I wonder if you know what Moses said to God at the start of all that. God's calling him and he says, who am I that I should go? Who am I? And he says, later on he says, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. We look to these men as being mighty in God, and they are. But look at the starting point. Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, he says, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest. Another non-starter in the natural. What happened? What happened? He said to them, follow me. Follow me. And yeah. I will make you. That's what they did. David, Moses, and Gideon. They hadn't got the qualifications in the natural. When we come into the New Testament, we've got the Apostle Paul. Without Paul and what he did, a lot of the New Testament writings would not exist. He writes about himself in some of the letters he sends. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, his personal presence is unimpressive, his speech contemptible. If somebody said that to you about you, if you're feeling like it, you'd probably punch him in the face. But he's relaying in his letter what they were thinking about him. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he says, even though I am a nobody, Moses was brought up under Gamaliel. He was taught as a Roman. He had all the knowledge and experience of the culture of the Romans, and he was a Roman citizen. And he hadn't bought his citizenship; he was born a Roman. And this is the Paul who later imprisoned in the inner bondage place within the prison is singing praises to God. But he started in weakness and self-doubt. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So all these people, something happened. From a starting point of being nobodies in the eyes of the world, and even in their own eyes, they were nobodies. God took hold of their lives and things changed. They had things in common, even though they were hundreds of years apart. First of all, they let God. They let God into their lives. And for all their doubts and lack of confidence or whatever else, they let God take them from where they were to where God wanted them to be. They learned obedience. Can be a hard one to learn. They realized that God's way was the way that things happened correctly. Matthew chapter 19 says, with God all things are possible. They learned to listen to God. You see, it says, follow me. The only way that we can follow Jesus is to listen and watch for where he's going. That's how we follow. They learned what repentance meant. See, there was repentance when they came to God, but there was a continual repentance. They learned to grow in faith. It's one thing having a knowledge about God. It's a different thing to have an experience with God. Jesus tells the story about the mustard seed, which is the tiniest of seeds, but it grows large when it grows. So where does all this take us? Well, if you're going through school and you get into secondary school, senior school, you get to the so far through senior school, and then you have choices. Is that right? Well, my son and daughter did. They were able to drop some subjects and take other subjects. So Jesus is asking you, what choices are you making with him? You know, when Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, that was not just for the disciples. He's asking that of every one of us. So what choices are you and I making in response to Jesus? The challenge today, right where you are, at this point in time, is, are you choosing Jesus for your life? We can follow pop stars, we can follow sports teams, we can follow our friends, pop stars go and come and go, the fade away, teams win and lose, friends change over time. Only Jesus never changes. Only Jesus is always the same. So the question for you today and for me is, have I accepted Jesus? Have I accepted Jesus into my life? Your life changes when you accepted Jesus. Your life starts taking a different direction. You are no longer the one steering the ship. We are following Jesus. We are following Him. And if you want to make your life complete, then you have to fill the full sentence. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So that is your challenge today. If you don't know Jesus, you need to come to Him to start following Him. Don't think that I've got all I need in the teams that I follow, the pop groups I follow, the friends I follow, because they will all fade. Jesus will never let you down. And your life will start coming in the right direction. So that's your decision today. Young or old or middle-aged, no matter how far you've come in life, that is your decision today to follow Jesus. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we praise you, Lord, today that you are King and Lord of all. And Lord, no matter what direction we may take in the natural, there is only one direction that you want us to go in, and that is to follow you. And Father, Lord, we come to you this afternoon. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that isn't following you, Father, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'll touch the hearts and the life today. Lord, help them to have a new beginning, a new start and a new direction. Lord, as they come to you, Lord, if they believe in you and start to trust you in their lives. Lord, Father, we just pray over the whole congregation today, Lord, that you will speak into their hearts afresh. Lord, Father, as the mighty men of old, Lord, that took faltering steps and felt unworthy so much of the time. But Lord, you made them great because you are great and they followed you. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'll help us, Lord, today to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, let's just keep our heads bowed and let's just stay in this atmosphere of worship. And it was such a beautiful word, wasn't it? Follow me and I will make you. And if you're in that place, you know, where you think to yourself, God, I am nobody, I'm going to encourage you, you know, He's going to make you somebody. God took Moses and made him somebody. God took David and made him somebody. God took Moses and made him deliverer. God took David and made him a king. In the same way, you know, when you give your life to God, God will make you somebody. And you know, I really want to encourage each one of us as we stay in this atmosphere of worship and adoration. I just want to encourage, if there's anyone in here who hasn't fully committed their lives to God and who would want God to be the very center of their lives, from wherever you sat right now, you know, we don't have to lift up hands, come forward or make anything fancy, but wherever you sat at the moment, from deep down inside your heart, start calling upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Invite Him into your life. From wherever you sat at the moment, just talk to God and ask Him to be your very refuge. Ask Him to be your shelter. Ask Him to be your strong tower. Ask Him to be your strength, your peace, and your salvation.